my lord.
Khan sat unmoving upon the dais, one hand still clasped around the haft of Gorechild. Immense shackles, such as might have restrained a mighty beast or a being of great strength, hung from the wall behind him. A deep, all-consuming fury dwelt within Khan's unblinking, burning eyes. Mavan had been a servant of the Sundered Legion since childhood. He lived only to serve, and throughout his life, he'd been surrounded by death and those who walked in its shadow. Yet never, in all those long years, had he seen such intense violence and madness as was writ in Khan's gaze. His utter physical stillness merely emphasized the fury raging within. The guards alone knew what went on behind those eyes. Mavan certainly had no wish to learn. The silence quickly became uncomfortable, but Mavan dared not speak again, for fear of provoking the World Eater. Khan released Gorechild, reluctantly it seemed, and stood. The sudden movement almost made Mavan flinch. Almost. Show a beast any fear and you will be devoured. It was a lesson that the other envoys evidently had not learned in their lifetimes. Khan stepped into the wan light of the brazier, and his face was revealed. It was slender and noble, and utterly without expression. Again, only his eyes gave any hint of the malice that dwelt within. That, and the stinking evidence of savage butchery that had been enacted within the cave. The World Eater moved with a warrior's grace, circling him slowly, as if to cut off his one route of escape. Even were he in his prime, Mavan knew that he would never get as far as a single step before he was caught. When Khan spoke, his words were calm and measured, betraying nothing of his intentions.
Can you feel them? The souls of those who died in the arena above. They linger, confused and tortured. I pity them.
Mavan said nothing, rooted to the spot, as Khan circled around him like a blood wolf stalking its prey.
If I kill you, will you join them here, do you think?
Mavan's mouth had gone bone dry, but he refused to be cowed.
I do not know, my lord.
Why is it that I do not sense any fear in you, Seneschal? The others reeked of it.
My life has been extended far beyond its natural span already, my lord. I do not fear death.
Khan moved in front of him, looking down at him with those insane, burning eyes. He studied Mavan like he would an insect, peering into his soul, and the Seneschal felt himself shrinking beneath the piercing gaze.
You yearn for death, don't you? You want to die.
Mavan opened his mouth to disagree, then closed it.
I live to serve.
Even to his own ears it sounded weak, and Khan stared at him without expression. Mavan dropped his gaze, unable to maintain eye contact.
I have long made peace with my soul.
Peace.
Khan hissed, allowing a trace of emotion to slip through his careful veneer of calm.
I hate the word.
Before Mavan could respond, the stoic mask was back in place.
The battle is over, then?
It is.
Tell me how it happened.
When you did not take to the field, most of the war bands that had gathered under our banner turned upon us, joining with Tarugar and his devourers. Outnumbered 5-1, the outcome was never truly in doubt. Those that held to their blood oaths fought well, but it was a massacre. The right flank folded and the devourers rolled up our line.
Khan's noble face drew into a disdainful sneer.
Tarugar names his warband the Devourers.
Mavan nodded. Khan shook his head.
Such arrogance. Tarugar was always the weakest of them. He hated them, you know.
Tarugar?
No, the Primarch.
Mavan frowned,
But the Devourers were...
A blood challenge has been invoked, you say?
That is so, my lord. Tarugar and his host are marching to meet it as we speak.
Who fights on Tarugar's behalf? I take it that he would not face Burond himself.
He has named a champion to fight in his stead. One of his devourers, the one they call the Flesh Terror.
Khan leaned close to Marvin's ear, his words almost a whisper.
And Burond?
He refuses to name a champion, my lord. He will fight Tarugar's slave himself.
Khan nodded, as if he had expected the answer.
He was always a proud one, was Argus. As stubborn as any, but proud. A warrior of principles, to his detriment.
My master has always done what he believed was best for the Legion.
You are a loyal servant to him, Seneschal, but the Legion is dead.
Marvin bit his tongue. He dared not speak aloud his thoughts on that particular matter. Khan stared at him for a long moment.
Tell me of this Flesh Terror, then.
A devolved and monstrous descendant of Sanguinius. I know not how he came to fight for Tarugar, but he is a dangerous foe, so I am told. He slew many world-eaters this day, along with a host of lesser rabble. Drained them of their blood, the story goes.
Can Bronn beat him?
Marvin did not answer at first, seemingly ashamed to give voice to his own thoughts. They felt disloyal.
I am not certain. Even if he does, I do not believe that Tarugar will relinquish anything to him.
Nor do I. He always lusted for power beyond his worth.
Marvin saw that Khan appeared to ponder this for a moment. His utter lack of emotion was unsettling. But he suddenly gestured to the skulls arrayed at the foot of the stone dais.
Gather them.
Marvin had presumed they belonged to the envoys sent to Khan throughout the day, but he saw now that they were too big. They were human, but oversized. Space marine skulls, Marvin realized. They were arrayed in a ritualistic manner. Khan tossed him a net made from thick strands of twisted fiber, and Marvin knelt, ignoring the protestations of his aged knees and the blood that soaked into his robe from the unclean floor. He laid the net out flat, and with cautious reverence, began piling the skulls upon it, one by one. They were heavy, as if cast from iron. The bones of space marines were far more dense than those of lesser men. Several showed signs of violence that hinted at the cause of death. One bore telltale gouges across its brow, that could only have been caused by a chain weapon, and another had fire-blackened shards of shrapnel still embedded in its cheekbone. Marvin did not dwell upon these unsettling details. He drew the corners of the net together and tied it fast. He had no hope of lifting all six skulls, but Khan hefted it over his shoulder as though it weighed nothing at all. He carried Gorechild in his other hand, and his helmet hung at his belt, alongside an ornate plasma pistol wrought of black iron.
It surprises me that Brond would send you here. I thought he would have had more pride than that.
He did not send me. In truth, he forbade me to seek you out.
Yet you are here.
I am here.
You are a curious creature, Seneschal.
I have been called far worse in my time.
Khan stared at him without blinking.
Tell me where this challenge will take place.
You are going to fight then, my lord?
We shall see.